Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, there it is. I'm across the pond. I hope Bo is safe wherever he is. And, of course, keeping up with social distancing and hopefully the travel's okay. But guess what? Bo doesn't have to travel to cover the NFL draft for The Athletic. He can stay at home because everybody else is staying at home, too. Bo Wolf joins us right now. Bo, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I want to hear the hot dog joke.
You know what? I'm going to save it for the end, all right, when we're done here.
All right.
I want to make sure we get our football talk, and then we'll do hot dog jokes. All right, Bo, the draft coming up here in about 2.5 weeks. Are you surprised that Roger Goodell was steadfast with this? Because it seemed like some general managers were like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, Roger, and Roger did not care. What do you make of it?
I'm not super surprised that he wants to push forward. And listen, I get that. Like the NFL draft is the perfect event to be held in these odd times. Nobody has to go anywhere. They can do it all remotely. I'm actually a little bit surprised they don't decide to, if they're going to go forward with it, stretch it out over more than 3 days. You know, why not like around a day, make it a full week or something like that? But it is going to be odd. I mean, by the time the draft comes, we are going to be in a worse place than we are now. And it's going to be a little bit of cognitive dissonance for sure. Now, like, you know, the free agency was a little bit different too. I didn't mind the distraction, but it's going to be pretty odd to be like, oh, I'm so excited we got this, you know, mediocre corner in the third round. You know, I hope everybody's safe, but I'm not super surprised. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Bo, do you think it's going to have a significant impact on, you know, how these teams draft? It feels like if this ever was going to happen, now is the time, just modern technology, that they could get through this. They could make this work. I mean, everyone has been Zooming on conference calls, FaceTiming with prospects. I know the pro days are important, but they did have the combine. They have every single stitch or an ounce of film from last season. It feels like, although they're not going to have a normal draft, they could still make pretty informed decisions based on what they have. What do you feel?
Yeah, I don't think that there should be any excuses for the teams who are drafting. I mean, this is what we always hear. It's that the boards are set, you know, after the combine or leading towards the combine. It's really all based on the work that's done all fall and in the All-Star game process. And then the combine is just sort of the last piece of real information. Like, of course, you know, some of the pre-draft visits are important. You want a guy, get a guy in your, you know, in your place and look him in the eye and sort of evaluate him. But I feel like those things are sort of overrated to begin with. So I don't think there should be any excuses. Everybody's playing with the same level playing field. I think the, you know, the consequences will be that guys who are, you know, have some sort of medical questions might end up going lower than they would have otherwise if teams are unsure whether they can really trust the body. And then I'm sure that there are going to be some, you know, some small school guys who end up going undrafted who might have been able to pop up as a, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round pick from a great pro day testing or something like that. But the truth is, I don't expect the draft to look much different than it would have looked in a normal year.
Bo Wolf of The Athletic joining us here, talking some Eagles 2.5 weeks till the NFL draft. Bo, I'll throw a question that I've been talking about tonight. Do you believe the Eagles have to take a receiver in the first round this year?
I mean, personally, I sort of do, but and I think the rest of the league expects that the Eagles do. But there are possibilities. There are veterans available who they could trade for. You know, maybe they think that going second, third round, combining that is enough. But that is what is so difficult in the position that they have put themselves in, not addressing it in free agency. They are now in a position where, I mean, they have to address the position somehow, some way, and it makes them less flexible in the draft. And coupled with the Darius Slay trade, they have less draft ammunition. So, you know, if, for instance, a guy who they would love, like, you know, C.J. Henderson, the cornerback from Florida, falls to 21, a guy who they would otherwise love to take, you know, would you rather take a guy you love who's like top 10 on your board at a position of need or like the fifth receiver? In a normal year, you would take the guy who fell, and the Eagles may not have that luxury right now because of the position they've sort of boxed themselves into. Now, I think that they would tell you that they're, you know, happier with the group of receivers than the general perception is, and maybe they think that they can buttress things with a trade that we're not so sure about down the line, but I think they have boxed themselves into an unfortunate position where they're in, you know, bad negotiating position because everybody knows how badly they need a wide receiver. Teams behind them can jump in front of them to take a guy they like if it is a receiver because they know the Eagles need that position so badly. So they have not really put themselves into the best position to take advantage of what should be an opportunity to really add to that wide receiver group.
Yeah, and that's the part that is frustrating here because it does feel like, and even their spot in the draft, Bo, feels like a very weird one to be in. They're not the last pick in the first round, but 21, I think everyone seems to believe the top three receivers are going to be gone by then. So if they don't trade up, they're not getting one of those guys. And what I don't know, and quite frankly, Bo, I don't trust Howie Roseman to know, is how much difference is there between the fourth and fifth best receiver, the guys that will be available for them at 21, versus the eighth, ninth, or tenth in this class? I don't know the answer to this, but if the gap isn't that big between whoever that kid is and whoever they could get at 53, then they shouldn't feel like they have to do it. It feels like they're going to reach a 21. At least I'm worried they're going to reach a 21, and there's going to be a receiver taken around 53, better or just as good, and they're going to pass up other good players. The whole strategy, it's worrisome to me.
Well, it is worrisome. I agree with that because there are like sort of two paths that you could be worried about. One is they're sitting there at 21 and thinking to themselves, we are happy with any of, you know, three or four guys who could fall to us. And if that's the case, you know, you don't feel good about their own ability to trust their evaluations and really have strong opinions about which guys it is that would fit best on this team and in this locker room. And the other thing to worry about is, you know, they need to, you know, recoup some more picks. I think they would like to after the Darius Slay trade. It makes sense for them to move back a little bit and maybe think that, you know, if there are three, four guys on the board and they think they're, you know, graded semi-equally, they'd like to move back and pick up a third-round pick or something like that. But then this is the teams behind them in the draft are all teams who need wide receivers, and they then face the risk of seeing a run on the position go, and they're left with, you know, a guy who is not someone they really want. So they're in a dangerous position, and it really is the reason that I would have liked to see them add some kind of receiver in free agency, even if it was a guy who you didn't expect to make a huge impact like a Breshad Perriman, because it would free them up to be so much more flexible and let the draft come to them instead of entering the draft with a need like so glaring to the rest of the league, both short and long term. They're in a bad position.
So, Bo, there is a chance they could still do what you and I thought they should have done, which is add something else just so they're in a better spot. It could happen between now and the draft. It could happen during the draft. Brandon Cooks' name has come up here the last couple weeks, and Peter King wrote about it, I think, last week. Now, originally that the idea from Peter King was a second-round pick, maybe 53 for Cooks. I would not do that after the concussion issues he's had. But if the price drops, and maybe we're talking about a fourth-round pick, I would have interest. But Brandon Cooks was a really productive player, and he really had one down year. I mean, other than that, it was 2 years in a row. He went to New England, they go to the Super Bowl. He went to Los Angeles, they go to the Super Bowl. He's been a good player. He's been on winning teams. The Eagles had interest in him way back in the day in his draft. What do you think about the idea of Cooks, depending on where the price goes?
Well, the other thing you mentioned, which is obvious that we know about Brandon Cooks, is that he has something the Eagles don't, and that's speed. So I would be interested to some degree, and I think you're right, that if the price drops to like a fourth-round pick, that would change the equation. The Eagles would then have that flexibility we're talking about entering the draft. I am a little bit concerned about the concussion history and, frankly, you know, the down year last year. He was it was a significant drop in production. I think he didn't even top 600 receiving yards despite playing 14 games. So that was a down year. I would have questions about that. But if you're telling me you know, the Eagles' current wide receiver picture, you give up one of three fourth-round picks to add Brandon Cooks to it, and then the need is not quite so dire in the top of the draft. I think that's a deal that I would be interested in.
Bo, I think you and I, about a month ago, discussed the idea of Jadeveon Clowney and potential Eagles pursuit of him. He's still available. I heard we played a clip earlier. Mark Dominic, former GM, mentioned that he thinks his market could be more like 1 year, $12 million rather than the $20-plus million per season he was seeking. I don't know what's going to happen with him, and he probably loses more suitors when the draft rolls around because someone, you know, two or three teams will take a pass rusher early and just say, you know, screw it, we have this guy now, and they're not going to pay Clowney. What do you think now of the market with Clowney? And do you think there's a chance post-draft, if he's still out there, the Eagles do actually make that phone call? Because the way I see it, they'd be silly not to explore it if he's still available.
You think they'd do it just so that when he shows up on day one, somebody can, like, sneak up from behind and knock him in the head?
Like a wrestling thing. Yeah, I mean, last night was WrestleMania. We can even everything out, and it's a good deal.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I find that a little bit far-fetched because of what happened in that playoff game. But, you know, there would come a point where maybe the value would be too good to pass up on. I think what this team needs at defensive end is more of a long-term solution, a guy who can potentially replace Brandon Graham in 2 years. And Clowney is, you know, a touch older, and a one-year deal doesn't necessarily, you know, solve that. So I think that the Eagles are probably not super interested. We know that they didn't choose to trade for Clowney when he was available for a very cheap price last year. So my guess is that if they weren't super interested last year, and all that's happened since is he, like, ended their season on a dirty hit on the quarterback, my guess is they're probably not super interested.
All right, Bo, before I give you a hot dog joke and we let you go, I'm going to throw this at you. We've been debating tonight an Eagles all-decade team because the NFL put their all-decade team out, so we were trying to create the Eagles all-decade team.
I've done this before at some point.
Oh, I think you have. So you could be of help then, because we were having some difficulty at corner. It's really a sad group when you, and I'm sure you remember going back and doing the research, mm-hmm. you know, players that have started a bunch of games. There's really not many very good names. Off the top of your head, if you can remember your list, and if not, you give us a new take on it. But who would be your starting cornerbacks of the last decade? Because I failed to make a solid list without Jalen Mills being one of those two corners. And I the saddest part is they just re-signed this player to play a different position now.
Huh. Well, you have to remind me, because I assume that Asante Samuel is still eligible as for one of the two spots, right?
Asante is. So then the other side would be some common.
I think it is Jalen Mills. I think that's probably what I did have was Asante Samuel and Jalen Mills. I mean, you're right that is a more of an indictment of the position that the Eagles have had for a decade than it is an endorsement of Jalen Mills. But compared to the rest of the guys, I think he's the one that I would go with.
It's remarkable. The other names we had were Kerry Williams, Ronald Darby, Brandon Boykin. I mean, you start running out of legitimate cornerbacks pretty quickly. They've had. You mentioned the kid in the draft this year. I know they have Darius Slay, but it's crazy how they have not been able to have anything there that sticks for a long time.
And they still, you know, Darius Slay is 29 years old, so it's not like he has solved the position for the Eagles for, you know, years to come. And right now it looks like they've penciled in Avante Maddox to be the other starter on the outside, and he has not had a lot of success as an outside cornerback. So even though they have poured resources into the position this offseason, it is by no means solved.
It is not. Bo Wolf, The Athletic. Bo, I'm sorry to say I forgot our caller's joke, but I have a different hot dog joke for you. You want to hear mine?
All right. We got a nice big package delivery of like a 24-pack of hot dogs today because my son has been into hot dogs lately.
Oh, well, how old is your kid?
Two and a half.
Two and a half's an age.
Two and a quarter, really. But.
So here's something for you. So my son is 5. My daughter will be 3 in a couple weeks. Jokes are big in our house now. So when I tell them a joke, they remember it and they talk about it. So I'm going to give you one that I'll be bringing home here. Ready?
That's good. Let's hear it.
All right. Here's my hot dog joke. Why did the hot dog hire a tutor?
Because he wanted to catch up.
Because he wanted to be on the honor roll.
Oh, okay. Not bad.
Bo, you tell that one to your 2.5-year-old. I bet that'll be a hit.
I'm sure he's going to love it.
All right, Bo. I appreciate it. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
There he goes. Bo Wolf of The Athletic. Tuck, you have a hot dog joke for us?
Well, I just went back through the logger and listened to Chris's hot dog joke.
So what was it?
Why did the hot dog keep telling jokes? Because he was on a roll?
Like he was like he was on a roll, like he had a good joke.
Exactly. I'm 99% sure Chris has said that to one that one to us before.
He's given us a hot dog joke before?
I feel like I've heard that one from him before.
Maybe that's an off the air thing. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard the hot dog joke from Chris before.
I mean, there's a whole subsection of comedy based around hot dogs.
I know. And jokes are big in my house now. My kids love to tell jokes.
They good at stand-up? Like, do you have them run through, like, five-minute sets for you?
Sometimes it lasts 5 minutes.
I mean, they could probably do, like, if you work hard with them, like, you're home all day now with them. If you guys worked 7-8 hours a day on, like, a two-man set, they could probably be doing comedy shows by the time this is over.
They write their own jokes.
Yeah, that's good. You need to write your own material.
So, actually, a couple of them, as we tell kids jokes here, a couple times they've heard something from a friend or something or from a grown-up, and then they take it as their own. But they've written a couple of
jokes. I mean, that's
jokes.
Plagiarism.
Yeah, but look, in the joke world, I feel in almost any creative world, you know, imitation is a sincerest form of flattery. It's a joke. They're 5 and 2. Are they going to get in trouble for it? You want to hear one of their jokes?
I'd love to.
I don't know if I could do it justice, but what is a bear with no teeth called, Tucker?
A gummy bear?
A gummy bear. That's my two-year-old's favorite. And then what is a frozen burger called? This is my 5-year-old's favorite.
I don't know.
A burger. That one he created all by himself.
That's funny.
We were driving. It was around Christmas time. We went down to, this feels like a million years ago now because we could actually travel and go places and see people. We were traveling down to go see my sister-in-law, and we stayed there for Christmas. She lives in D.C. And this was right around the time jokes became a big thing. Like, let's tell jokes. And he's like, I have a new joke. And he just said that one. And he was like, I made it.
He's brilliant.
He's very proud of it. And now he says it once a day, and everyone has to laugh just as loud as the first time he said it.
Oh, well, he needs to come up with new material.
All right, well.
I mean, if he's going to have, like, an HBO special by the end of the year, he needs more than one joke.
I agree with that. I agree with that. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Look, you know what? I throw this in the mix the rest of the evening, too. If you have a good joke and you want to share it on the air, it's the last 20 minutes we've had hot dog jokes, burger jokes, and bear jokes. If you have a good joke, you are more. I am willing to hear the best jokes out there. And by the end of the night, we will have an award for the best jokes. 215-592-9494. But coming up in a few minutes, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have an AMA, Tucker. Here's what we're going to do in around 8:20. You can call in and ask me anything. This is the only rule in this. If you ask, I will answer. As long as you follow the rules of the radio station, which is just keep it clean and have a conversation, you can ask me anything. You tell Tucker what you want to ask, he'll pop you on, and we will have it. We did this a couple weeks ago when Spike was here for Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. We're going to do it again. In a few minutes, we're going to have an Ask Me Anything. We already have a few questions that have popped through in social media. So we'll go there, and then I want your phone calls. You call in, you ask the question, I will answer about anything. And the fun part when we did it last time was I had no idea where those questions were going.
Like, it was a wide range of questions.
It was. It was some about the radio station. It was some about, I guess, more personal questions. It was fun, though. I enjoyed having that last time. We're going to do it again. 215-592-9494. Your chance to ask me anything. The Midday Show does it. The first time I did it on WIP was an Ask Me Anything was I filled in for DeCameron. I guess they do it on Wednesdays. This was maybe about a month and a half ago, and I did an AMA, and it was fun. And in that one, like a couple of the social media ones that have come in tonight, I kind of glanced at them, so I saw a few of them. But that one, I had no idea it was coming. And that was like, that was interesting, because I had no idea what the next question would be. You know, usually I have an idea of what's coming. You guys,
I mean, this is all scripted.
Yeah, I mean, well, except for the phone calls.
That's most of them.
Yeah, who's our best ringer phone caller? Wade?
Wade from Chester, Mike from King of Prussia.
Yeah, they're all good callers. It's almost as like they are part of the show, which they are. But, you know, usually when someone calls in, I have a feeling like, oh, the Phillies did something dumb. We're going to talk about Matt Klentak, Gabe Kapler, Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson. I kind of know where everyone's going to go with phone calls and what we talk about here. Ask Me Anything, at least the one I did with the Midday Show. I had no idea where it was going, and it was awesome. 215-592-9494. We have a lot to get to. We'll replay Bernie Perrant later on in the show. He was on this morning with Angelo Cataldi. We'll get back into why I do not think the Eagles have to draft a wide receiver coming up in the first round. Have to is a bad place to be. It is not a smart way to act. And I don't think that's what the Eagles should be thinking heading into what is going to amount to a fantasy draft, which one, you know, a part of it will take place somewhere in Howie Roseman's house, which is it's just still amazing to me. This is what we're going to do. 215-592-9494 on the other side. And ask me anything. You call in anything you want to ask. These are the rules. You ask it, I will answer. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.